Okay, I was just reading this week a great little saying. I can't remember who said it. It says, worship without gratitude is not worship. Worship without gratitude is not worship. I thought that was a very insightful little saying. Okay, let's turn in our Bibles to a couple different places today, and then we'll get to the main thrust of our lesson, Proverbs chapter 22. We had some discussion about this last week, and I think that it would be good for us to think about this. Proverbs chapter 22. I'd like us to think about this verse, but I'd like us to think about some other verses. Okay? Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, I want us to look at some other verses. Proverbs 22, verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Okay? And, of course, there's many other such verses in the Bible. But turn to Psalm 127. Verse number 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Okay? I'm going to ask you a question. Okay? How do we respond to these verses? Do we respond to these verses with the idea, well, maybe it'll work? Is that how we respond to these verses? Maybe this works. Okay. That's true. If we take that attitude, it obviously we aren't going to do what it says then. Okay? We talked about a little bit last week. It came up about Proverbs 22, and the question was, is that a promise? Is it a statement, or is it a principle? Now, some would say, well, that's a principle. Now, let's think about it. Why I hesitate to emphasize the idea of a principle is this. Is that people are always looking for an excuse. People are always looking for an excuse why it didn't work. Okay? And, you know, as a pastor, I take a whole different approach to things because I'm a pastor. And because I know how people think. And when you say, and many times it will come across, and when people take it wrongly, okay? Now, we know every child has a free will, right? Okay? But let me just share with you what I feel are the dangers of saying this is a principle and a child has a free will, and if they don't receive it, then that's their fault. The dangers of that is that's an easy way for us to excuse our wrong actions. And I'm enough of a human being and a parent and a person to know that the problem isn't with God's Word and the problem isn't with the Holy Spirit. That's not where the problem is. The problem is with us. And the problem is that we do not take seriously our responsibilities. Okay? That is the problem. We don't take seriously our responsibilities. Okay? Now, I wanted to... another question came up. And it was about 1 Timothy. And so let's turn there. Question came up about 1 Timothy. And 1 Timothy chapter number 3, it talks about the office of a pastor. And it says here that a pastor, verse number 4, is one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Okay? Now, the Bible tells us that a pastor should be one that his children are in line and that he rules his house. And he compares that to ruling the house of God. How does that compare? Well, it's kind of like this. What is the key in ruling your house? One of the keys in ruling your house is what you will let your kids get away with. Okay? Now, let's put it in a practical standpoint here. Okay? And maybe this kind of helps the rubber meet the road, but most churches don't want, most Christian people, unless they have come to a place of maturity, they don't want anybody telling them how to raise their family. There's two things that carnal people don't want. They don't want anybody to tell them about their money, and they didn't want anybody to tell them how they're supposed to raise their family. Okay? Now, but really the Bible is saying kind of the opposite. The Bible is saying that the keys to ruling your house are also the keys to ruling the church. Isn't that what it's saying? The keys to ruling your house are the same as the keys to ruling your house. Okay? And if you don't want a pastor that tells you that, then go to a church that doesn't tell you how to live. And go to a church that doesn't tell you why you shouldn't do such and why you should do such. And how you're supposed, why you should not, how you're supposed to raise kids, you know. I've noticed that if you've noticed this, and this is really kind of changing today, but a lot of pastors are afraid to tell the people how to raise their kids. Because people don't want to hear it. But what's happening is they're going to miss the ingredients that are the keys. All right? Now, let me put another viewpoint to 1 Timothy 3. Why is the family important? Because if the pastor can't figure out the basic principles of discipleship from the Bible for his own family, how is he going to teach that to his people? He missed something. And I'm not going to say I'm perfect. I got a couple of my sons here. They can tell you that I'm far from perfect. But if you can't understand the basic principles of Bible discipleship, okay, that's really what the home is. Okay? And that's why the home is so important, because the home has far more to do with a child turning out than the church. The church can only help godly homes. We can't replace homes. And I think of some men in the ministry. The reason that they are successful in a ministry is because they were raised in a godly home. And there was an impact made on their life more than intellectual truth. Okay? And so, let me put it from a different standpoint. Pastor Hatcher was going to say, talk about the seven things that, cause children to rebel. That's really what he was saying. And I would say that probably the number one thing that's on there is inconsistency. Inconsistency. And really, what is that? Okay? It's really saying, well, this is right, but we're not doing that. Okay? Tanda? You must have got here. Did you just get here?
No, I didn't.
Because we were talking about this.
I know.
Okay.
The confusion is, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The argument that you hear is, that is a promise, not a principle. Is there a... And then of course, there's the scripture that says, honor thy father and thy mother, because your days will be long upon the earth, in the short.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we would apply this verse the same way we're going to apply, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, and the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Do we say that that is a statement that we take literally? I think we would. We're going to take that as a literal statement. Okay? Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we like to emphasize the latter part of the verse without emphasizing the first part.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can preach messages on the train part. I mean, if we train our children right by what the Bible says, then I think the principle, it does apply. It does, mm-hmm. It will work. If we don't train our children the way, in biblical, applying mm-hmm. the rod and the other things that the Bible tells us to do, yeah, we're going to fail.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's more of a statement of fact that this is what our duty is. And this is what we're supposed to do. Okay? And now, let's put it from a broad perspective. Otherwise, what hope would there be for Christian parents? What hope would there be? I mean, that's pretty significant. You know, why would you have children? Why would you bring children into the world and put all that into them if they're just going to decide to go to hell? Why would you do that? I tell you what, I would say, man, I don't know. I don't know if I want to do that. I don't know if I want to take that risk. I'm just talking from a practical standpoint. Yes.
So how do people without one spouse saved train their children right and the other one is not?
How do they do that?
One agrees with correcting and the other is not.
Okay, you're talking about if both are in the home? What do I say is that obviously it is more difficult when you only have one spouse in the home. But I think that there are plain principles that need to be emphasized. Okay. Now, what happens? This is what I observe. I'm just going to tell you what I observe. Okay. This is what I observe. If you have a home where there's a saved and unsaved person, okay, it's not always, but it seems like the unsaved person, the saved person is the one that's supposed to give in. And the unsaved is supposed to be able to rule the house. Doesn't matter who they are, husband or wife. I think that's wrong. Okay? I'm not going to bring birth to a child and let that child go his own way. There's something inhuman about that. Okay? And if he can just say, okay, they can, you know, I'm not going to fight this battle. What? What? That's my flesh and blood. I'm just going to let that child go whatever way? No. I think that is the fundamental issue right there. Okay? You know, the Bible says, a bear robbed of her whelps. What is the rest of the verse? A bear robbed of her whelps. Pardon me? Okay, then a bear robbed of her whelps. What's a bear going to do that's robbed of her whelps? She'll do anything, right? But you know what? As human beings, we aren't supposed to. We aren't supposed to. We have a child, and we just will let whatever happens, happens. You see what I'm saying? It's not normal. And yet, that's what takes place, is that people say, oh, well, I guess it's not going to work. I've got too much. It's too difficult here. Okay? Yes?
Wait, you said it correctly. The word train here isn't a one-time thing. It's a battle.
Mm-hmm.
It's a constant battle. So if you discipline them one time, that isn't necessarily going to take care of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have strong-willed children, we're all born with an old sin nature, so we're automatically given a strong will.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Nature versus the old nature, or Christ and Satan constantly fighting the same way with training your children. It's a battle.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a one-time thing.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't instantly change everything.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes you can see that result right away.
Mm-hmm.
But to actually mold and shape.
And you know what? The battle doesn't stop. Okay? The battle doesn't stop. Okay? And we'll get to that. Hopefully we'll get to this handout. Does everybody get a handout? Okay, yes, sir.
I'm living proof of this verse, and like you just said, like she said, it's a battle. I won't get into details, but
could, but I got rebellious, and he finally got to the point where he heard the term, I wash my hands with you. You think you know everything? You go ahead and go. And he just let me do whatever I want. And that's when I went into sin and fell away. If my dad had stayed on me, who knows if I had kept going. And my encouragement to others is to stay on them, even if they are rebellious, because what happened with me cost me 10 years of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Had my mom and dad stayed on me, and I mean, my dad was a cop, and I mean, he could have put the pressure on me,
mm-hmm.
put me in jail, he could have done a lot of things to try to deter me from going the way that I went for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't. He just washed his hands. In retrospect, he feels bad about that now.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a reflection of a commitment to a cause.
Yeah.
Okay? When this Pastor Hatch talked about this pastor, his daughter at 26 was starting to go wayward, and he quit the ministry. And what is he doing? He was doing something purposely, put some pressure on her to do right. He didn't give up. See, a lot of people want to give up. And making, you know, just, and that use something as an excuse to give up. Well, you don't give up. Okay? Now, I have this little handout here, and I just decided I was going to put down some principles that have made, that I think are important and have really changed. Determined big decisions in our lives about our family. Okay? And we're going to talk about that. Some of these are, it's not in necessarily order. Some principles, guiding principles of a godly home. Number one, the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day. Psalm 118. And verse 24. Some of this might be new for you. It might be maybe something you have to chew on and think about, because maybe you just don't have that in your thinking. But Psalm 118 and verse 24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. Okay, verse 22. The stone which the builders refused, that's Jesus, is become the head stone of the corner. This is quoted in the book of Acts. This is quoted, obviously, in 1 Peter, talking about Christ. This is the Lord's doing, this marvelous in our day, in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. When did Jesus become the headstone? When he rose from the dead. This is the day that the Lord hath made. It's talking about the first day of the week. It's talking about the first day of the week. And I know that there are people who de-emphasize the Lord's Day and say that Sunday is just the day we worship and et cetera, et cetera, but it's nothing big. I disagree with that. Okay? Let me just kind of throw out something that will help you think the way I think. When I see boys playing football at church on Sunday, something's not clicking right in their mind. They haven't been corrected and told by the dad, this is the Lord's Day. Kids need to understand that the Lord's Day is the Lord's Day. And just from my perspective, those kind of kids are telling me about their future. And the probability is they're going to be worldly, because they don't have a regard for the Lord's Day. Now, I was going to kind of title this just some personal principles that we've lived by, and maybe that's really what they are. But these are some things that I think are important. And I guarantee you, children don't necessarily like them. Okay? And but I think you gotta decide how far you want to go. I've felt like somehow the Lord's Day has to be different. You know, it's kind of interesting. There is not one, almost never, maybe it's coming, but I never have an urge to take a nap in the afternoon, Monday through Saturday. Sometimes Saturday maybe, but if I'm, you know, when it's a snowy day like this maybe, like yesterday, I took a little nap sitting in front of the fire because I didn't know what else to do. But you know, if it's light out, man, I never think. But you know, it gets to be about, you know, 2:30 on Sunday. And you know what? My body is dying for a nap. You know? No urge any other day of the week. But Sunday? Yeah. The Lord's Day. It's an old-fashioned principle, but it's disappearing. Okay. Number two, the Lord's house. Okay. Jesus said, Matthew 16:18, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know, I believe in the local church. I think that that's God's institution for this age, and I think it's really important. You know, I chose our first daughter when we were considering where she would go to college. We were not happy with our alma mater, and so now we are open to some new thoughts. And a very prominent school, they didn't allow their students to go to church on Sunday morning, freshmen. And I said, my daughter is not going there. I'm not going to send her somewhere for the first time in her life. She isn't in church. And you know, if we go on vacation, our vacation is always around going to church. We don't skip church Sunday night. And we don't skip church Wednesday night. Our vacations are built around church. And what we do now, even on our youth campout, it would be easier not to go to Faith Baptist Church, but we do. So this is just our principle in our home, is that we don't miss church. I mean, obviously if you're sick, you don't go to church. And I've been home when I've been sick. But, you know, you don't miss church. You don't go on vacation and miss church. Okay? When people go on vacation and they miss church, obviously this Bible principle isn't important to them. I was on a tour to the Bible lands, and the professor of Old Testament, where I was going, was sponsoring this class. He said, "Now, folks, you know, we spent $3,000 to come here, and we traveled 5,000 miles. And you know, it's," he basically said, "you know, if we skip church, that's no deal, big deal." We spent all this money to learn And so we aren't going to be going to church. Only on certain occasions. You know what? I couldn't. That was foreign to my thinking. The Lord's house. You know what? For some people, that would be no big deal. And there's a lot of people who go on vacation, they can miss church, no big deal. Okay? But in our home, it's always been a big deal. And it has been a delight to me that wherever we go, it's the kids who say, who are always saying, okay, they already know, going to church. And where are we going to go to church? That's the focus point of what we're doing. When we're traveling, where we're traveling, etc. Where are we going to church? I think that's a very important principle. Okay? Okay, the third principle is the supremacy of His Word. Is that what I have on there? What do I have? Oh, okay. We'll go to that one. I have a different order. Okay? The Lord's work. Okay? What was one of the most successful men in the Old Testament? And in unnatural circumstances, Samuel. Samuel turned the tide from apostasy, period of Judges, and prepared the way for David. Okay? How was that? Well, it was in the context that Hannah said, you know, if you give me a child, Lord, I'll give him to you for full-time service. Okay? Does Psalm 127 say you're supposed to aim your children? Turn to Psalm 127. It says, verse 4, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Okay, what are you supposed to do with arrows? Aim them. Right? Got to aim them at something. Okay? You know, people in the world, at 6 years old, they got their kids in Little League. 5 year olds, maybe they got them in T-ball. Right? They're aiming them at something, aren't they? Right? They're aiming them at something. To them, that is the most important thing in the world. Okay? And I'm just telling you my philosophy, and telling you why. I believe that it's always been our prayer and our purpose, and we've always prayed to that end and acted like that every one of our children is going to serve the Lord full time. Now you say, only God can call them. Exactly. But most parents don't aim their children for that. They don't aim their children for that. And you know what? It shows. It shows. You know, what are you aiming at? Okay? And that's a very, very important truth. What are you aiming at? And now, the extreme of my philosophy is this. Is that, and you know, it's just, this is an extreme point. Is that, you know, our job is to train young people to serve the Lord. And the world, they can train engineers and doctors and lawyers. But the world cannot train young people for the Lord's work. They can't do that. They have no ability to do that. Now, I'm not going to say that to what I'm saying, that this is absolute truth for everybody, but I think, I'm just telling you, I think this is a key, very important a truth to get a hold of and to digest. And it's kind of like one of those things, okay? Very few people who aren't aiming their children to serve the Lord full time, very few of them, do they really have the results that they should have? Why is that? I tell you, it's a human thing. Well, you know, if I'm not going to serve the Lord with my life, hey, let's not be so radical. If I'm not going to serve the Lord with my life, why be so fanatical about the Bible? Just take it easy. Enjoy the world a little bit. You know, that's you understand human nature? That's human nature. And human nature really plays into this. Okay? Okay, we're going to try to get through the list here. What's the number four? Well, on that is the Great Commission, right? Now, is the Great Commission binding on every believer? Is it? Okay. Now, if that is so, that means that every parent is raising their children for the purpose of fulfilling the Great Commission. And that's their purpose in life, to fulfill the Great Commission. You know, our world would be great if people who, what should I say, weren't pastors, if their purpose in life is the Great Commission. You know what? In fact, what other purpose is there? There isn't any. What's number four that I put down? Okay, the Word of God. Okay. What's the authority in the home? Has to be, doesn't it? Why do we do what we do? Because of the Bible. Okay, now, if you have a little child, from the earliest age, the thing that is one of the most important things in their life is the Bible. From the earliest age, one of the first things that you teach them is to revere the Bible. And they take that Bible as a precious treasure. I mean, we've done things like one of the first things a little child has learned to do is to sing the B-I-B-L-E. You know, and they hold up the Bible. They're learning to revere the Bible. Okay? And when you think about that, really, that's the whole principle of a whole multitude of things, okay? And that is, why do we do what we do? Because the Bible says so. Okay? Now, what's the opposite of that? Not the total opposite, but opposite of that. The opposite of that is inconsistency. The The Bible says such and such. Well, we don't have to do that. Bible says you should be in. You should go to church. Well, you know what? We don't have to go to church tonight. We have family party. But you know what? The problem is you want your child to obey the Bible when you want them to obey, but you don't want to obey the Bible when you don't want to obey it. And all of a sudden, are they going to revere the Bible? No. It's just a hindrance. You use it when you want to, and you throw it away when you want to. You know that? There has to be the right attitude about the Bible. Okay? And I would say that I would call it principled living. Principled living. We live by principles. We don't live by convenience. We don't live by if it works out. We work by principle. And principle is a very, very important aspect of just the whole understanding of the Bible. Tonda? Well, the old sinful nature.
Right, but I just wanted to say there is hope, though, but we need to discipline that.
Mm-hmm.
And then do positive things as well. And it is.
Thanks.
Amazing. That's how I'm so strong.
Okay. Turn to John 17, verse 8. Here's a good verse. You know, one of the characteristics of a Christian home is the central place of the Bible. Okay. And so, you should have family devotions. That's kind of important in a Christian home. Family devotions. That you read the Bible. I mean, what does it say? It tells you, it's broadcasting on a 500 by 500 foot screen your attitude about the Bible. You can say with your words what you want to say, but things that we do are 1,000 times bigger. Okay? John 17, verse 8. Notice what Jesus said. I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. I have given unto them the words that thou hast given me. And you know, it reflects today in the modern Bible versions, you know, many of the Bible versions, they have, and the schools out there, they have reduced the Bible from words to thoughts. NIV is translated with the emphasis on dynamic equivalency. Wheaton College, these evangelical schools, they say God's word isn't inspired word for word. It's inspired thought by thought. Conceptual inspiration they're talking about. And this is reflected in the world which we live. There is a growing disregard for the Bible and for the word of God. That is a very, very important truth today. And it's one of the things in the sky, you might say. Okay? Family altar, personal devotions. You know, that's one of the main things in a home is that parents, They have a burden that their children read the Bible every day. That's the center. That's the center. That's the key. Okay? Five, I'm going to talk about stewardship. Okay? We have a lot of time for each one of these. Stewardship. Okay, what is stewardship? Stewardship is that everything that you have been given, you've been given to you by God, and it's to be used for God. That's what stewardship is. Okay? Everything you have and every ability you have is to be used for God. That's why you got it. Okay? And that's an important principle of life. And now we're talking about putting Bible principles in action that produces Bible results. Okay? Let me give you an example, the opposite. Okay? Is, okay, I got this ability, but I don't want Pastor calling me up for anything. I don't want Pastor calling me up because this is my ability and I'm going to use it for me, and don't let somebody ask me to use it for the Lord. Expand that one. Right? Expand that one. That's the opposite of Romans 12. It says that I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. Okay? I mean, that they kind of fit together. All right? So stewardship. Everything we have is for the Lord. Everything we have is for the Lord. And we need to make it available for the Lord. Six, separation and sanctification. Separation and sanctification. Separation, I'm using the word for negative, and I use the word sanctification for the positive, and I know that they both have a both positive and a negative realm. But, and maybe we need to come back to this one, but you know what? If you don't practice separation in your family, kids aren't going to turn out right. You don't practice separation. You know, are you concerned about who your kids hang around with? Are you concerned about that? Are you concerned about who you hang around with? You know, that's pretty important, isn't it? You know, some people love to be middle of the roaders. They want to hang around the straight people, and they want to hang around the people that are halfway. And guess which way their kids usually turn out? What do you think? Halfway. Halfway. Do you really believe that? Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness? You know, parents make the biggest mistake about this because they don't want to be truthful. You know, that's one of the biggest problems with movies. Is parents don't want to be honest. They don't really believe in raising their kids for God. That's why they allow movies in their house. You know, movies and the TV is the easiest way to fill your kids' brains with ungodly thinking. Realize that? And you know, those images are more powerful than hundreds of sermons. Those images are more powerful than hundreds and hundreds of sermons. And they just see that, and it's always there. There's a philosophy that's being taught. Just having a conversation with Emily last night, and she is saying, you know, Dad, when I was a kid, I just didn't understand why you were so against movies and even Christian videos. I just couldn't understand it. And she said, you know, as a child, you can't understand it. She says, but now I understand. And now I understand the things that I saw, even innocently, Christian videos. Those images were teaching me a philosophy that was wrong. Now I know it was wrong. But I didn't know it was wrong when I saw it. But I realized the impact it had on my life all those years. Because I saw a philosophy of living that was unbiblical on that Christian video. And it put within my mind thinking that, she said, it was just there for years. You know, the Bible makes it very clear. You know, don't touch the unclean thing. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. You know, these are things, you know, that you can build up three bricks, but, you know, those things can rip down two or three or four at one time. So, guess our time is up. But you know, there's principles that we have to live by. And if we don't have those principles, okay, guess what? We can say, well, I trained my child up. No. No. You didn't. You didn't follow. We didn't follow biblical truth. And here's the thing. You know, they say this, why did Solomon not properly deal with Absalom? Anybody know why? Huh? Why, yes. Why didn't David properly deal with Solomon, Absalom?
Because he hadn't ever told him no.
Yeah? Not only had not told him no, but he let his own guilt rule him, didn't they? He let his own guilt rule him. He said, how can I be tough on this boy? I murdered somebody. I committed adultery. I can't be tough on him. And he wasn't. And it came back to him, didn't it? So, this was for the purpose of saying, you know what? Train up a child in the way he should go. There are definite principles that are involved. And to skip out on those principles, we dare not go back to Proverbs 22 and say, well, I trained him up. No, we got to follow the principles. And we need to be very serious about that. And praise the Lord, we get a hold of the principles, and then we'll find out that that's the realm in which God works. Okay, Father, thank you for this time, and thank you for the Word of God, and thank you that, Lord, that we can encourage one another in doing that which is right, in Jesus' name. Amen.